we're talking about ground beef, what's in it, and how we refer to it. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In recent months, the meat processing company BPI, Beef Products Incorporated, notified its customers that its product it calls lean, finely textured beef can now be classified just as ground beef. So the controversy erupted in 2012 when ABC News aired a segment on beef slaughterhouses, coining the term pink slime. Here's a bit of Diane Sawyer introducing the evening news story nearly 7 years ago.
Is it what we think it is, or is it padded with a filler the whistleblower calls pink slime?
The meat processor brought a defamation lawsuit over the reporting and settled for $177 million. Are you a beef farmer or a cattle rancher? How do you feel about this labeling change and calling this product ground beef? We're at 800-642-1234. Joe Fassler is features editor for the New Food Economy. That's a nonprofit news organization. He's twice been a finalist for the James Beard Foundation Award in Journalism for his reporting on food safety and public health. Joe, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate. Glad to be here.
So the USDA decided that this beef product that was once kind of known as pink slime can now be classified as ground beef. Why did this happen? Why did this reclassification occur?
Well, it was actually requested by the company BPI. They approached USDA and said, listen, we've got some, you know, changes to our process. We think that, you know, our product really isn't substantively different from actual ground beef. So they went through about a 6-month review that included not just, you know, visits to their facility, but I believe also, consumer testing with, you know, a panel of sort of citizen testers for taste and that kind of thing. And ultimately, the government agreed and said, OK, this is ground beef to us and it can be called that.
What kind of changes to its processes did it make?
Well, that's where things get a little bit tricky. I found out about this story because in my work, we're a national publication writing for a general audience, but I'm always reading through trade magazines and really in the weeds business stuff looking for story ideas. And so I actually picked up on this because, really sort of rarefied, you know, beef trade publications had written a little bit about it. The people at BPI were willing to talk to those publications, but I was initially promised an interview, and after a few go-arounds, it turned out that the company wouldn't actually talk to me. So it's actually quite unclear how exactly the process has been refined, and that's unfortunate. But what we do know in general is that BPI's proprietary process sort of warms beef trim up. So that's the kind of fatty cuts that are cut off of, more recognizable steaks that are sold as, you know, skirt steak, or that kind of ribeye, you know, that you would buy in the supermarket. They're warmed, treated with ammonia gas and sent through a centrifuge. So a spinning, a sort of spinner that separates the meat from the fat, in a very precise way. And so what we do know is that that process, the company's ability to separate the meat and the fat very, very precisely has gotten even more exact. But other than that, I can't really say.
And so then this type of product is then infused in other processing of ground beef. How does it get added in?
Exactly. Well, it's purchased by other meat processors. So, a company like Tyson Foods, which is a traditional meat packer, can actually buy BPI's product, which has a very, very low fat level, and blend it in with other ground beef products that tend to have, a higher fat content. And that's because there is some limits, in terms of the fat content that beef can have. I think it's ground beef, according to USDA, can't contain more than 30% fat. So meat packers are always trying to hit these target fat levels, and BPI's product helps them do that.
We're talking about what we classify as ground beef with Joe Fassler as our guide. He's features editor for the New Food Economy. Do you remember the fallout over the so-called pink slime? Did it change how you think about meat? Did it change your eating habits at all? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Joe, in 2012, BPI sued ABC News for defamation after the news network published this investigation on the product it referred to as pink slime. Did ABC get anything right in this piece?
Yeah, I just went back and watched that segment, and there's a lot about it that's right, and there's some things about it that's wrong. So I think ABC did a good job describing the process for the most part, and explaining actually how the product then called lean, finely textured beef was produced. But they made a couple mistakes, which are subtle but important. So the segment seemed to suggest that the product is treated with just said ammonia. And it's actually treated with ammonia gas. And that's important because the beef trimmings, again, those fatty cuts that come off of other steaks at the slaughterhouse, actually are more susceptible to contamination. And, you know, to make this product of BPI's, lots of, you know, of cuts from many different animals are blended together. So the potential for contamination is very, very high. That's why it's treated with a strong puff of ammonia gas, which actually sterilizes the process. But ABC didn't quite say that it was what is gas. They didn't quite say that actually ammonia at low levels is safe. They just made it sound as if it had been sort of drenched in ammonia. And that was a big thing. The other problem was that, yes, there were some scientists at USDA who were troubled by this practice. Gerald Zernstein, who is a USDA microbiologist, is actually the guy who coined the phrase pink slime. And he personally said that he, as an individual, wouldn't want to eat it. And in fact, the segment begins with a shot of him grinding his own hamburger meat in his own kitchen to avoid this. But what they didn't, they made it sound as though this product was approved sort of over the objection of the agency's own scientists. And that's not really quite true. There were a few individuals that had concerns, but it's not like the agency made some determination writ large that was somehow overruled. So it kind of took the stance of a few whistleblowers or conscientious objectors and sort of used them to characterize the attitude of the department, and that wasn't quite right.
But you could still characterize this as bad press. It had a negative impact on BPI's bottom line. What do we know about that impact?
Sure. I think they lost $400 million, which was about a year's worth of business, I believe. They also had to close three of their four plants around the country. And so that was a really big deal. It was a massive setback for BPI.
We're talking with Joe Fassler. He is the features editor for the New Food Economy. Do you work in meat packing or processing? What are your thoughts on this? Are you concerned with how meat is made and the safety of this process? Or do you think this reclassification is just not a big deal? You can join in at 800-642-1234. You can email your thoughts on ground beef to ideas@WPR.org. We're looking at this reclassification by the USDA of the product that was based on a review of South Dakota meat processor BPI. We're looking at this reclassification and what it means. We'll get back to this conversation in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. The USDA has given its approval for meat processor Beef Products Incorporated to call its lean, finely textured beef just ground beef. We're talking about it here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The company that sued ABC for calling its beef pink slime back in 2012 is now certified to say it's producing 100% ground beef. That's according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's labeling board. Are you a beef farmer or cattle rancher? How do you feel about lean, finely textured beef now being labeled as ground beef? Do you worry that it could give beef a bad name and scare consumers away like what happened in 2012? You can call in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. The New Food Economy Features Editor Joe Fassler stays with us for this conversation. Joe, give us more of a sense of who BPI is, who this meat processor is, how big it is. And are other companies doing what BPI is doing?
So great question. In 2012, before the now notorious segment aired, it was reported that BPI's product was actually in 70% of the hamburgers in the U.S. So in a huge proportion of the ground beef, you know, commercially available to Americans. That segment, you know, really hurt their business a lot, and their market share has surely slipped somewhat. There are also other producers now who make similar products, though. BPI seems to be sort of an industry leader in this regard. Their process is proprietary. It's well known, and they have, you know, quite a few major customers in the meatpacking industry. But for sure, it's a fairly ubiquitous product still, and it's in a lot of meat here in the U.S.
So how do we define then ground beef? And with the USDA saying that this particular filler is ground beef, does that expand or change the definition of what ground beef is for the consumer?
Yeah, I think it does expand it. And BPI, in fact, has been on the record saying that the company sought this reclassification because it's interested in selling some direct-to-consumer products. So that's something that's never actually happened before. This lean, finely textured beef, as it was once known, was only added into other, you know, more traditional ground beef products. Now it can actually be sold technically straight to you and me. And that, in fact, is new.
And so if it can be sold directly to you and me, is that happening right now?
It's not happening at the moment. The company hasn't outlined any specific plans to do so. But, you know, their statement to me was very clear that they did this because they're interested in expanding their products and potentially opening the door to selling directly to consumers.
So is there anything objectively bad or dangerous about this product as far as we know? I mean, their processes, of course, are proprietary, but I'm sure that their plants are open always to inspectors and have rigid inspections. So what do we know about the dangers, if any?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's where things get interesting. In theory, no, there's no reason why this product should actually be seen as dangerous. And, you know, whether or not it's disturbing to people or gross on an individual level, unappetizing is another more personal question. But it's not that BPI doesn't have any a track record of any food safety issues. Michael Moss, the New York Times investigative reporter in 2009, actually won the Pulitzer Prize for his work on food safety in the beef industry, specifically looking at ground beef. And one of his stories was actually about BPI. And he wrote that at the time, BPI sort of had a free pass. They weren't inspected the way a normal meat processing plant would be because of this ammonia gas that they used to sterilize the product, which I mentioned earlier, and that was supposed to take care of any food safety issues. But Moss actually found out that wasn't happening. you know, E. coli and other, you know, food safety pathogens were found in the finished products. And in fact, you know, ending up in school lunches and stuff. So that became a serious issue. So it's not that the product, you know, is 100% always safe. You know, but that's also true of any ground beef you might eat. You know, might have some pathogens, and that's part of the rationale, you know, for cooking your meat thoroughly, which you see on you know, on food packaging and hear all the time. So it's not that the company has a completely unblemished food safety record. It's not that the product can't have issues, but in general, it's not that it should. It's not that there's something inherently unsafe about this product.
So is ammonia gas still the be-all, end-all, you know, kind of safety threshold here for combating any pathogens? Is it still being held up as a really important part of the process?
As far as I know, yes, it's still a critical piece, a part of how BPI does its work. It's, you know, it can be very effective when it's done properly. What Michael Moss reported was that people were complaining that some of the blended meat that used BPI's product had a bit of an ammonia taste to it. And what seems to have happened is that because of those complaints, somehow the levels that were needed to meet that food safety threshold of ammonia actually weren't being reached. And so as a result, pathogens were making it through. But, you know, in theory, you know, you don't want too much ammonia gas, but if you're doing it right at the right level where you're killing the pathogens and the food is still palatable, then there shouldn't be any issues.
We're talking with Joe Fassler. He's the features editor for the New Food Economy, talking about how we label ground beef. Joe, let's look at the marketplace for a moment here. How could this particular change affect cattle ranchers and beef farmers, particularly those who make traditional ground beef, if you will?
Sure. And, you know, I'd be interested to hear from your listeners on that as well. But one way that this process is very important to the industry is it does allow meat processors to be much more efficient. So as I mentioned earlier, if you're, you know, when you're cutting off these fatty chunks from steaks, a lot of that, you know, product can't be actually sold directly. And traditionally, a lot of it's been wasted. So a process like this actually allows us to consume, you know, much more of the animal, coming much, much closer to sort of consuming the whole animal. And if we're not using it, for sure, there will be, you know, parts of the animal that are lost or aren't at least fed to humans. So one way that this is really important is it allows processors to be much more efficient. But in terms of how that actually affects beef producers, you know, the ranchers actually, you know, raising beef, well, that's a little less clear to me. You know, I'm sure ranchers are all for efficiency. But, you know, they might be able to sell a little more cattle if the processing industry was less efficient. So there's that. But, you know, one thing that I came across in my reporting is there's definitely some people in the farming and ranching community who are actually worried about this reclassification. They remember how the ABC News segment, you know, really shocked the nation and actually led to a temporary decline in beef consumption generally. So I think there are those who fear a backlash, who think this is the wrong idea, and Bill Bullard, the CEO of RCAF, which is an organization that advocates for independent farmers and ranchers in the U.S., said he thinks that this should be labeled, no question, because he and his constituents are afraid of this. Another place where it could be really interesting is, you know, we're talking about a highly mechanized, you know, very, very advanced technology here. And if we can still call that ground beef, you know, if that's still the same as just grinding by hand, some meat, you know, with a crank or an auger, well, then sort of where does that stop? And there's some commenting I've seen online from people in the beef industry of, well, does this open the door to cell cultured meat? You know, is that, can that be ground beef? If we're talking about something that's so far from sort of traditional definitions of ground beef, does that sort of help pave the way for these companies who are trying to create meat actually without using animals to actually be considered as part of the same product?
Sounds like it's the next step in the reporting process as you watch this play out.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be interesting to see, and I'll certainly be interested to see where BPI goes with any potential direct-to-consumer products.
Joe, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Joe Fassler is features editor for the New Food Economy. He's twice been a finalist for the James Beard Foundation Award in Journalism for his reporting on food safety and public health. Coming up, we'll look at Governor Evers' $28 million proposal to expand women's health care that is expected to be part of his budget address Thursday evening at 7. And Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television will bring you live coverage of that speech with analysis afterward. That is Thursday evening at 7 here on WPR. Stay with us. News is coming up next on the Ideas Network.